Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the other one drinking today. I'm Shane.
And you're listening to the podcast that's making conspiracies fun again. Today's topic, the aliens are among us.
Mm-hmm.
The big news coming out of the conspiratorial world, paranormal world, is that there's been some major disclosure. It's sort of the next step in the rising conflict of disclosure that's been happening. I think maybe for like a year.
Sure. Plus. Or since 2020, I guess, since those
since the UAP
videos were released and the New York Times article came out.
So we're going to talk about that, which we're very excited about. As always, we're sponsored by Hopfly Brewing, which is based out of Rocky Mount, North Carolina, brewery in Charlotte, North Carolina. They make incredible beers. So good that I've sworn it off for a little bit.
Yeah.
I can't stop drinking those crunch times.
Well, it doesn't help that we've been recording at 10 a.m. every
That's a tough one.
And we're just blasting beers at 10 in the morning.
Yeah, it's doing wonders for my health.
Yeah, mine too. I've been over today in the studio, and I was like, you ever just almost lose your balance and get real dizzy? And you're like, yeah, it's a little blood pressure. I was like, yeah, or alcoholism.
Crack a beer and solve this. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but they're fantastic if you ever get a chance to try them in stores.
I'm drinking a Ghost. So good.
A Ghost or a Gozo?
Ghost. Ghost. G-H-O-S-T. It's the name.
Which kind of beer is it?
I don't know. Delicious. I need readers because it's got small print on there. Oh, West Coast IPA.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, that's nice.
So we are big news for those of you that are listening who haven't been on the Patreon. We are going to be doing a big name change coming up soon, early July. Same podcast, same host, same format, pretty much.
Same topics.
Same topics. Just a little bit of a name change to reflect more of what we are and what we're about. And we're excited. We'll give you more details on that when we do the name change.
Yeah, logo's done, I think.
And the Conspiracy Beer Me merchandise is going to be very valuable here in about 2 weeks. So maybe buy some while you can.
Yeah, go to our website. You can buy it there.
I have 2 5-panel trucker hats left.
That's it? You gave all of them away.
But I still owe a guy, too.
Oh, really?
Those are for him. I'm eventually going to mail them. That's okay. I sold them all to show in Florida except for 2.
Nice.
So I got 2 for that guy.
Nice.
I think that's it, man. I think we got enough to talk about. Mm-hmm. And whenever we talk about aliens, UFOs, UAPs, and the whatnot, our favorite person to do it with is New York-based comedian and friend Sean Donnelly. Welcome back to Conspiracy Beer Me. How are you, Sean?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me again. Always a pleasure.
Yeah.
Yeah, always glad to have you on, especially to talk about this stuff.
Now,
absolutely. I'm excited.
And in case nobody knows, from prior episodes, you're a regular at the Comedy Cellar there in New York, and you're a touring comic all over the country. And you've also been doing these kind of man-on-the-street interviews where you explore people's perceptions and things about UFOs and aliens and all that, too.
Yeah, I got rid of my other Twitter, and I have a TikTok called UFO Street where I ask people, I say, UFOs are real. What do you think they are? And I should be doing way more of them. I've taped a bunch more that I'm going to be putting out like in the next couple weeks. So.
Nice.
They're very interesting. It's fun to hear people, the regular kind of person's perspective.
Yeah, it's funny because there's a few videos where people are so ambivalent. They're just like, it's aliens. Like, right, like multiple people are just like, they shrug and go, it's aliens. It's like, and they totally have accepted it, you know?
Yeah, which I think is partially why we are in a space with disclosure that we are, because I think they're kind of like, most people don't give a shit nowadays.
You can trust in this apathy, I think.
Yeah.
That's one of the things we'll probably get into is I think you can really, really double down on people not paying attention or not really caring.
Absolutely.
Know?
Yeah, that's something that I do want to talk about. In fact, I want to talk about people on the street as well. But let's get the facts out as about what happened. If you don't know, a senior CIA intelligence officer by the name of David Grusch filed for whistleblower protection, and what whistleblower protection is a federal law that if you allege fraud or abuse or anything in within your governmental department, and then you face retaliation, you can then file for whistleblower protection. Now, he claims that he made his superiors aware that information about alien craft, recovered alien craft and a reverse engineering program involving those craft, was fraudulently withheld from Congress. And some of those craft, by the way, contained bodies of non-human intelligent life forms, and then he was retaliated against. And that's the crux of this claim. And so that was what was released, and the story was put out. It first was covered by some lesser-known news organizations, and then it kind of made its way. I would say
the first article was the debrief, which is known amongst UFO people. But the authors of that article were the people from the New York Times article in 2007.
Right.
Yeah, Leslie Keene and Blumenthal. Is that who?
Blumenthal, yeah.
Yeah, and they did shop that article to the Washington Post, who apparently was interested in it, but just didn't have the time because the authors had another exclusive author offer for money, which journalists don't make a lot of money. So I'm sure they were like, we got to say yes to these people by this date. Mm-hmm. And Washington Post says, we're not going to be able to vet this at the time. But they were interested in it enough. But it has not, the story has not caught on by the New York Times, Washington Post, or any of the major.
I've seen it on Fox, but that's it.
Fox, and I saw it somewhere else. Maybe CNN at least had it on their website.
Well, let me tell you why that makes sense to me. Because even in regards to the 2017 article, I remember seeing an interview with Christopher Mellon, who was part of the intelligence community for years, and who's one of the guys who engineered the release of those videos for the article, and who seems like a very, very stable, credible person to me. And apparently, him and Leslie Kane were disappointed, and probably Ralph Blumenthal, because even though the final product that got put out by the Times was a bombshell of an article, they went the military funding angle.
Right.
So I think that's, you don't really have that in this narrative here with this guy Dan. So I think the amount of due diligence that would have had to been done for the Times, for the Post, would have taken 2-3 years for them, because they just would have not wanted to release, that would have signed off, which is actually pretty encouraging that you still have news outlets like that.
Yeah.
So I think that's why they were like, hey, we can't do this, because it didn't have that, like, hey, here's the real world part of it that we can sell to our readers who trust us.
Sure.
Right.
There's also no real
opinion. I think that's why it didn't happen for them, because it's the same people, the same reporting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't see why, you know, I've read Leslie Kane's book. I don't see why you wouldn't just be like, this seems like the sober sources.
Yeah. It's also weird too. I guess there's no physical evidence in the New York Times when they had videos, and this one just has secondhand, third-hand knowledge, right, or, you know,
David Grush was relaying information that had been told to him by people with first-hand knowledge. Also, there's a difference between saying Navy pilots have encountered unidentified aerial and aquatic phenomena that we don't know where it's coming from, versus David Grush's allegation, which is, no, we know exactly where it's coming from. Mm. It is intelligent non-human life forms, and we found some of these crashes. That's a much bigger allegation in my mind. So I see why there would need to be more sort of journalistic and digging into that before you.
I agree, and it's an indictment of the system, and it's earth shattering for a democracy because it's almost like at a level where. It's almost like a second blow. Remember, they called it, when JFK got shot, they called it the end of Camelot. And then when the distrust in the government went through the roof, right? And even whatever you believe about that topic, which you go off, you know, obviously that's a whole other show. But what I'm saying is, this would just be another giant blow to people's trust within the government, which I think has been eroding since the 60s anyway. So I don't think, that's why I think what we talked about earlier with the apathy would just be in place. I don't think you have enough regular people that it's in their DNA, like, well, yeah, of course they're lying. Like, it's happened multiple times. Sure. So I don't think wouldn't be as much of a bombshell. Mm-hmm. But what it would do is it would be cause for investigation and for arrests if you're really going to go the tried and true justice route. And these guys aren't going to allow themselves to be exposed to that. I don't think.
They'll just hop in a UFO and go away.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're going to put me in jail? I'll see you in the future. Yeah.
Well, that is an interesting.
Like Mel Brooks in Spaceballs.
Speaking of going to jail, and I do not think it was a wag the dog situation, but this article came out early in the week, Monday. Mm-hmm. And then this week is the week that former President Donald Trump was indicted. And that just dominated the news cycle. Mm-hmm. I had to wonder sometimes during the week, like, if that had not transpired, if we had a regular slow summer news cycle, if maybe there had been a chance for some of those larger news outlets to cover it. Now, regardless of all that, and Sean, Shane and I talked about this in an earlier discussion, you know, I'm of the variety that thinks, and this is partly because of distrust with the government, is that no amount of disclosure, no amount of news reporting is ever going to convince people. The only thing that's going to convince them is a president of the United States standing in front of a podium in front of journalists and saying, I'm here to tell you that we now are acknowledging that we have evidence of non-human intelligent life on this planet that has been here for some amount of time. We've recovered some of their craft. Until there's that sort of straightforward disclosure.
I don't even think that exists. I don't even think that would do it.
Oh, yeah.
I think you, because it's so, I think that's when the partisan politics would come into play and they would go, oh, it's Biden trying to cover up that Kamala Harris is not a good,
How bad of a vice president would she have to be for you to be like, you know what we'll do? We'll admit there's aliens.
the heat off her. No, don't get me wrong. I think it'd be a majority of people would go, okay, this is it.
Yeah.
But I think you'd still have, because the internet exists and you'd still have the same types of people being like, it's liberal bullshit. It's the Republicans trying to put that in there. Whatever it is, I think that you just everybody just like have people talk about how the internet has like the opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one, and the internet has just made them has given them a megaphone. Is the same way that you're going to have so many debunkers and just complete skeptics just be like, nah, I don't even trust that. Why should I try? So if you're saying the government lied to me about this
for 80
years,
that
as fodder to go, well, maybe they're lying now. Maybe it really is, you know, whatever the hell.
Who knows?
But I'm saying that,
is there anything
that you mean about it? It's just going to be who believes it and who doesn't.
And so there, I mean, aside from like an alien invasion where it's like, That might do it. Yeah. Or, I mean, I guess there's now with a deep fake technology, there's probably no even video footage that would convince a skeptic.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, and the problem is that nobody does their due diligence. There's software out there to detect 98% of deep fakes, but no one's going to run that.
Right. And then people that do, they get told, I don't believe.
People won't even Google a headline.
Exactly. Yeah.
My opinion on the whole thing is that the thing that happens with so funny with Americans is a couple different opinions is that what happens to the thank you for your service when it comes to this type of stuff?
Right.
So we're really, really pro-military. But so in the same breath that you're saying thank you for your service, you can literally in a news story about a decorated veteran call him, well, maybe he's a kook. The word kook, but what happened to respect the military and do this is the only time. There's two reasons I think it is. It's because they want to not be culpable if it is wrong, and then just like, hey, hands off. And I think also because it relates to the Air Force. He was in the Air Force, and I think there's less respect for that. So at what point do we believe these guys? This guy went the completely legal whistleblower route. Mm-hmm. He's only revealing the information he can legally based off that law.
Yeah.
And we're still using the word kook.
Yeah.
And you see him and you look in his eyes on the interview and he's being asked, are you a kook? And he's saying no. He's not rattling. He's not moving his foot. He's not Tom DeLonging it, where whatever the fuck you want to call it.
That's called drugs.
Where he's being played.
Yeah.
And yes, could he be being played? I don't know. And one time during this interview that Shane sent me, this guy mentioned this for 4 years. He's going over this information. At what point are you going to believe serious people on this?
Right.
I'm
yeah.
Not saying,
right.
Yeah. So that's my main thing with this. I'm like, there's so much of it. So I would love somebody to compile a list of the credible people that you have to go, don't believe him, don't believe her. I would love to see it in one giant basket. And then people go, oh, wait a minute. Like, this is a plethora. Would you say I have a plethora of information about fucking that seems credible? It gets insane after a while, because it's like one of these things where you're like, If I forget who it was I think it was the other guy that just had a news story about him, but it's just his opinion. He's a scientist. He works at Harvard.
Oh, Abby Loeb.
Not Abby Loeb. Gary. Oh, Gary
McKinnon.
Nolan.
Yeah.
Nolan. Whatever his name is.
Yep, Nolan.
And they go, well, what's the proof that you, what what proof is it that you have that this is happening or this is credible? And he goes, just the sheer amount of anecdotal eyewitness. It's like, it's just so large. When are you just going to go, hey, it's probably something. It's,
yeah,
it's,
exactly.
It is what it is. Yeah. And then you have a guy like this with all these accolades tell you, this is what I found out and I believe it. And it's a 4-year investigation that I did. I don't know, man. At one point you have to like suspend disbelief and go, all right, I buy you believe it. And I, based off everything else, I'm in. I'm 100% in. I don't see the advantage of bullshitting at this point.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Especially when it's coming to him at personal cost to his job, his entire life. So it's like, why would he do this? And he said in the interview, he goes, I just felt like we needed leadership on this issue from someone that knows what's happening.
Yeah. And he and to your point, Sean, is that his colleagues or former colleagues in some cases, they interviewed some of them and they're like, I have a hard time believing what he's saying, but what I know of David Grush is that he is as straight a shooter as there's ever been in CIA. Like his yes is yes, his no is no. He does not, he's just that guy that's like by the book. And that again, it adds on that so many of what you're talking about, this plethora of people. You know, there are the kooks out there. Usually the kooks say, and then buy my book.
Absolutely.
But these guys are not saying that. They're saying this is a threat to U.S. military interests and safety, and we need to have Congress. And now Congress is now saying we are going to look into this, which probably means
a whole new hearing, I believe, based off his. So
probably means we'll never hear anything else about this ever again. That's probably where we're
My fear is that these people will be right into it and they'll be like, oh, this should be secret. This is terrifying. And then they'll just put it back in the closet, you know?
Right. Which would be, because here's the thing. It's like, if their reasoning wasn't national security for the secrecy and everything he's saying, even at the end of that interview, when they get into PACs made, which he didn't know about, and he doesn't say he knows about any PACs made with non-human intelligence. He's saying like, I'd like to know more about that side of it. Cause I'm wondering myself.
Yeah.
That could mean a million different things.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you're not just trying to profiteer, you know, wartime profiteer off this, even if it is, even if you do have a noble, you could just say the noble reason that we didn't tell you is because this is a threat to the country and we were trying to take care of it behind the scenes and we want to protect the American public. A lot of people would buy that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a lot of people would just go along with it. Like I get that. Like, you know, even if what was the it was the Eisenhower thing, right? Wasn't that the big urban myth that he met with these entities?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Whatever they call the Majestic 12 was put together to whatever it was.
He supposedly went to the dentist.
He went to the dentist. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Right. The dentist. Right. Exactly.
Because he chipped his tooth on chicken wings that didn't exist.
Instead of the dentist coming to him, they drove him out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like 60 miles away.
That was a fun episode with Tab One, but it was the whole thing. They're like, he broke his tooth on buffalo wings. It's like buffalo wings weren't invented for 10 years after that. By the way,
that's the real conspiracy.
Yeah, it is.
The aliens give us buffalo wings.
Yeah, exactly.
But what I'm trying to say is like, this is all, if you put this stuff, even as that interview went on from that News Nation interview, I was like, you could see him humming and hawing on fantastical side of things. Mm-hmm. Cause I think he doesn't have the actual information about that. And he was very, very careful to ride that line about what am I legally allowed under the whistleblower rule.
Right.
So there you go. That shows like he said, I'm not out for fame and fortune. I believe it because he was showing decision-making skills as he's being interviewed. Like if you really were looking for the fame part of this thing, you'd be like, yeah, I think so. In my opinion, I think so.
Yeah.
And he was like, not really. So it's like one of these things where it's like, he seemed like a pretty pensive guy. Mm-hmm. The only thing that he does say that's not, I don't even think it's a profit thing, is they talk about he's starting a scientific research association.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that sounds like a non-profit organization. And yes, maybe he's thinking, I would just think that I don't think you're making that much more with a scientific organization if it's nonprofit off a military salary for another. He could have worked. Look at him. What's the guy? 50 tops.
Yeah, and he's a real estate agent now. But I guess he's starting. I don't know. He's not that old. He might be in his 40s. He may be younger.
He's
than that.
Yeah,
he looks young. I don't know. Yeah, he looks 30s. Sure. I don't even know. Yeah.
So it's like, why? If you think about it, so if he's just complacent, could have stayed in there, it was probably making at least 80 to 100 a year. What isn't that make more profit?
Yeah.
Profit inducing than,
yeah. And the reputational hit too. Yeah.
I mean, and he does have a background in physics. That was his whole thing. So he knows about not only physics, he can apply that to this nonprofit and stuff. I know it doesn't have to do with money, but he does have that background. So it makes sense that he would,
you know, what do you think, about, so one of the things that people are talking about is if a major disclosure if the government comes out and says this is true, obviously they've had 90 years to say this is true. Mm-hmm. So some people are asking, why would they do it now? Like, it's not something they would do unless there was a necessity to do it. One theory is that we are hopelessly behind China in the reverse engineering process. And the only way
to catch up with the private sector.
Yeah, that's it, we have to engage the private sector. And the only way to engage the private sector is, you know, to keep a secret like this tight, it has to be extremely tight. I mean, you have to have people in the military with high level security clearance that don't know about it.
Right. Like, and they said that they would have silos, like, you work on this part of the craft, you work on this part of the craft. And so they never talk. And it's like, you need to have all the scientists in one room to really understand.
And that's no way to keep the secret. You know, like, if we're going to do this right and catch up, we've got to just let people know that's what we're doing.
Give you everything that we know, which also emboldens this guy. I think this guy emboldens the Lazar claims. Cause it's exactly what you just said. Mm-hmm. I was only told to work on this part of the craft. It makes it seem I was leaning towards believing most of what he said anyway, but I'm like, this really kind of backs Lazar up.
Yeah. And he mentioned heavy atomic elements. Like he said, there's and so that kind of speaks to what Lazar always said. I don't know.
Yeah.
So you're saying what you just said, JD, are you saying that they're putting this out into the news because of that and using Dan Grutch as that? Or you're saying that if they did come out and say, yes, it's true, is this all orchestrated? Or you're saying
that's the theory. The theory is that if they wanted to, they have put off disclosure, at least aside from soft disclosures here and there, for a long time. And if they're going to come out and say, yes, we have these crafts now, it's the government has been behind all of this. Like, this is all part of a plan, and this is all just sort of stress test to see, is the public going to react well? I mean, because what you don't want to do is come out on Sunday night and say, we have these crafts, and then the next Monday morning the stock market crashes, and then the government is like, okay, that was people weren't prepared for that. We now have a Hurricane Katrina situation. Yeah. So
they were in shambles because of
right. Yeah. So you want to use, but they need the private sector, and they can't just bring the private sector in because it's just too many people, but they need them. I mean, our private sector engineering is top notch in the world. And I mean, and it's sort of what they did with when we invented the atomic bomb
Manhattan Project. Get everybody.
We brought in the best minds from all over the world, but there was no way to keep it secret. I mean, and it was not, which is why the plans got stolen and given to another country.
It also, the fact that you're not referring to Lockheed Martin, like it shows you how government based Lockheed Martin and government and all that. There's zero private sector. Like sharing it with them or sharing it partially with them. There was no risk of it getting out into the public whatsoever. And when people go, how could you keep this? Is because that's basically just an extension of the government. So what you're saying is there's no group, there's no company that the Department of Defense can share it with that has a shared profile with the public. They're so on their own island, basically. They've dug themselves their own little hole where they can't trust anything, or they can only trust it piecemeal to even bring in a civilian physicists or whoever else would work on it. So yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe this is a little test. Hey, I'm gonna pump the gas a little bit and see, what do you guys think? What happens to the markets? I think the markets are a great angle on this, where it's like, will this be pandemonium? Will this be the housing market crash times 12? Will this be COVID during lockdown? You know, whatever you want to call it. And I, that's always, and I don't actually disagree with that being in the mindset, because you don't want society to take such a hit that people can't live anymore, especially the millions of people who don't give a shit if there are probably already kind of accepted that this is just something that exists, you know?
Yeah. And that's one of the things Dave, the whistleblower, said was that the reason that, you know, we've had this Cold War, and why they said, why has Russia or China not revealed this to their public? It's the same reason we haven't. It's because the socioeconomic implications could be huge, you know? So it's, I mean, that whole collapse of the stock market, that could happen globally. I mean, it's, they could destroy how entire societies work. So it makes sense that they're trying to keep it silent. It,
especially, and this is, goes back to the partisan politics side of it, especially if you admit that there are non-human intelligent life on this earth who are far more superior than there, and then somebody in the audience says, "Mr. President, what do they want?" And they're like, they want to fix global climate change. And then all of a sudden people well, this is bullshit. This is Project Bluebeam. This is just, this is just the Democrats wanting to put us back in masks and all this. So that's where it becomes. So if it's like, they're here, they don't really want to have anything to do with us.
Yeah.
But they're here. So just, you know, next time somebody tells you they saw an alien, just believe them.
Yeah.
That's a far cry from like, we have to be united against this group of far superior creatures in us. That would be catastrophic, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, even when he brings up, he kind of goes into a little bit of an explanation of the possibility of interdimensional.
Yeah, he did.
And way farther than I thought would be in that interview. I was a little bit surprised at how much he was like, well, you know, it's mathematically possible they're just present. And they're in another dimension simultaneously, and they're popping over, which has been the thought for a lot of UFO people for a long time, which also explain a lot of sightings and a lot of how the craft operate and how what people see.
Right.
It also explains too. I think this is like this overarching thing that we've talked about a lot in this pod, is that if they are in another dimension, that definitely gives credence to why places like Skinwalker Ranch or aliens or things like that. It's like, these are just different layers of reality on top of ours on Earth. And we just happen to pop in thin places. We just happen to see them. They can move in, they can move out. We just don't have that ability.
Right. And to go back to your, the political part of this, one thing that the George Knapp, document dump from, Russia that he has all these, that I believe him that he went over there and did speak to those people. So if you see it, when that government crumbled, there was, people in positions of power willing to go, okay, yeah, this is hopeless right here. Fuck it. I'll tell you whatever I know. And then that kind of was swept under the rug because of the years that it was. And I think there wasn't an openness to it like there is now. And then once they got a little bit more stable, even though it's, you know, it's Putin, but once you get a little bit more lockdown with KGB, whatever you want to call it, and they got back and they have their, whatever you want to call their strength, this gets immediately this Cold War gets picked right back up.
Yeah.
Like it's almost just understood. It seems like, okay, we're a functioning government again. Are these guys that have been in it for 30 years? We know. Mum's the word on this.
Yeah.
And who knows, you know, it's almost like just an understood thing, I think, with a lot of these military types to just go, we don't say shit about it because for whatever reason. Because it just shows you the reach of these countries, because I'm sure there's territories that were controlled by USSR and Russian authorities that would almost like the Brazil, the James Fox contact, where you have all these little pieces of information, but immediately they're like, after finding out about with this whistleblower, when you hear about the, hey, they came right away and shut it right down, it's like, yeah, because there was an active effort to do that. And if you have this guy telling you this, it gives it some more validity there that, this is being monitored. And all you need is people to rat each other out. All you need is a guy on the phone going, you got another one. Come on, clean it up.
Yeah, it's interesting. Oftentimes I'm like, why do we have such reach around the globe? And I understand that what we're told is it's global security. We just need to have bases so we can get to active hotspots. But it's like, that also helps you get to UFOs.
Also this. Yeah.
Right.
And I was just, ironically, I was just listening to my buddy turned me on to the Intercepted podcast, and they were talking about the strength of the US dollar and how it started. And they were the the interest in the countries around the world to be involved in the US dollar because it was backed by tangible goods. It was gold and then whatever else. So what that did is, I think, and just off my own thoughts, that seems like that'd be a very great way to insert yourself into situations like this. It can go all the way down the line. This this seems like you can snowball into, hey, you have our dollar. Your currency is based off our dollar. Yeah, we can just come in the middle of the night without talking to your military and grab these bodies from Marginia, whatever it's called. I don't see that out of the realm of possibility of the United States military, which has what, a larger budget than the next 26 countries combined, after us, whatever it is. So it's like, yeah, money talks.
Yeah. Know? It does. And what's crazy, too, is like we always complain. We're like, oh, they spend so much on defense and the budget. We don't know where all this money goes. Why aren't they spending it back home? But maybe this is such a huge issue and such a crazy thing that they're like, listen, we got to throw every piece of money at it and not tell you about it because it's that important and that dangerous.
You're saying this issue.
This issue. Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It makes me think that they probably are tracking these devices, these UAPs, all the time. And they're able to determine when they've entered from, say, the ionosphere into the lower atmosphere or wherever it is that it's problematic. Mm-hmm. And they're able to detect the crashes, and then they deploy probably reverse-engineered crafts of similar to get there very quickly and recover the crash. And every time one of these crashes, probably the world's superpowers are all that would make some sense to me, that if there's a tracking system, because, you know, we've been talking about going back to Reagan about Star Wars and being able to track a flea coming into our airspace.
Yeah.
That seems to be more likely to be the case, is that we have this really advanced tracking system and we try to get to these crashes before our quote-unquote enemies get them.
And I think the muddying the waters is really what works well for these people. So remember when nobody knew about the NSA, and then NSA was secret. I think in one of the articles about this, there was another group mentioned that kind of, I probably supersedes the NSA. So for what you're talking about, Justin, I think what you would need is, because in my regular civilian brain, I'm like, well, what would be the conduit? You'd have to use NORAD, or you would have to use NASA for this. Mm-hmm. You'd have to use the military radars, but you can't, because those are, in what we're talking about, those are quasi-civilian.
Civilian, right.
There's too many compromisable situations in that. So there'd have to be, at the same way that this program exists, an infrastructure built that is the tracker you're talking about would have to also not be. This would be a whole.
Right.
Basically, you're going along the lines of shadow government at that point.
Yeah.
You're going
along
the lines of, or shadow military.
And we have covered, for example, the deep underground military base network, which again is not a confirmed thing, but the theory is that there's these DUMs, these deep underground military bases, and then tunnels that connect them that the government can use to transport. And that was one of the things that came out. Craft are never transported above ground. They're always transported out of sight, where just regular civilians or a radar or satellite could accidentally capture a picture of it. I mean, you guys have been on the highway and seen like something going down the highway, and you're like, what the hell's that?
Yeah, but it's a Wienermobile. Yeah.
None of those things. It's always underground that these things are transported, you know, which
also, if you're doing it, where these bases are, like Montana and Utah,
Wyoming,
and
Colorado. Yeah,
so far from many people.
Trust you. See, there's 15 people out there.
Yeah.
It'd be very, very easy to shut anything down and not be seen, and especially if you're using these these tunnels that nobody knows about. That
right. Yeah. Karen. Also, if you believe the stories of intimidation, if like you see something, people come up to you and be like, "We'll fucking murder your family. We don't care."
Yeah.
Exactly. Gotcha, exactly. Yeah. And then we're gonna make it into a fun blockbuster movie.
Exactly. Exactly. And you will get no credit. We'll show something that looks like you, and you will just be labeled as extra.
But it
because here's the thing: it's like even that is. There's things that pop up in a lot of these anecdotal retellings that are the same. Like this Men in Black thing, I think from the movie and just from me, I think I went like, oh, that's the Men in Black thing is bullshit. For years, I was the Men in Black thing is bullshit. But then the more you hear about like you have these eyewitnesses, you're like, well, somebody came the next day. Somebody came. It's like it's just time and time.
Yeah.
The same way that when the people do see beings, and people who don't seem related keep mentioning skin tight suits. Yeah. I'm like, that seems kind of like I don't know. But yeah, but you're just watching like when you're watching videos from the pre YouTube mm-hmm. when people are saying the same things, and they don't know each other from different parts of the world or different parts of the country. And you're like, well, that detail matches up. And
yeah,
exactly. I don't know. It just seems to me the more, isn't that kind of what science is? The repetition, shouldn't that kind of put
absolutely.
It more in the realm sure. of a scientific experiment? Yeah.
Yeah. And someone on Reddit today, I was not supposed to be on there. It's a Reddit ban. There's a blackout. I forgot.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh,
they're real shitty about third-party apps. You can read all about not
some of the
Reddit.
Subs are blackout for 48 hours. They're asking all users to not go on Reddit for 48 hours.
Yeah. But someone was complaining. They're like, this guy is just using all the UFO tropes for the past 90 years in his interview. I was like, yeah, because they're probably true. It's like, why would he make up new shit? That doesn't make sense in the narrative. Like, doesn't make any sense.
And also it's like, the really, really believable part here is that this guy's not, he's not just taking an interview with a low level news organization. This guy went through I don't think people realize like there's, it's like, yeah, we have show business, but I think that everything's become, because of TikTok and Instagram, everything's become show business. And people don't realize there's like real laws in real life going on in the background of you getting mad about I don't know whatever you're clicking through.
Yeah,
the same way that maybe one of the things that made me realize it, and this is not an aside, but I'll say it quick. I watched that the Smartless HBO thing, and they had Alexandria Cortez on, and even she was talking really sensibly on that podcast about how like. Oh, you know, yeah, you have the internet and then you have like the real life. And I'm like, oh yeah, even you're saying it and you benefit from the internet things that how much you're loved there. So when people are like, oh, he's just saying what everybody says. No, he's not. Cause everybody isn't putting themselves in legal jeopardy if they're lying.
That's
you better believe that. Look at Assange or look at these guys, the guy fled, whatever happened, or Snowden. These guys, the reason that happens is because there's legal penalties for what they're saying.
Right.
And this guy's in the same fucking basket.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's not the same thing as even Jeremy or George. Like, no, those guys are serious guys. Yeah. But I mean, like, it's not the same thing as you running a comment on Twitter or Reddit. It's just not even close to that.
Yeah, there's real implications to fuck around and find out in that world because there are legal basis to put you in jail or put you to death.
Right. And I think that doesn't happen as much. Like even when, okay, so say you operate under the assumption that Lazar is telling the truth. Mm-hmm. The whistleblower angle on this thing seems to be a pretty strong strategy because you look at Lazar still around.
Yeah.
He's had some raids here and there, but he was a young kid when he did it. But I think it wasn't one of the reasons that he came out publicly is because he was saying like, I wanted to save my life in a way.
Yeah.
Is that true? I
think so. I think
sure, but I'm like, it seems like it works. So this guy, I don't know, man, I just don't the same way we said about, buy my book after this.
Yeah.
I don't, this isn't happening. Yeah. Maybe he'll pivot at one point and be like, oh, by the way, I'm going to host, the new game show on CBS that's replacing James Corden. But
yeah.
I think there's so much of it at this point that I'm like, when are you just going to go, I believe this guy? Is there nobody, Fravor, this guy? There's a few others. Is there nobody that you're like, I just believe what this guy says? He seems on the level.
Yeah.
When does this happen?
Yeah. I want to pivot just slightly. It's in the realm of what we're talking about. But it's a theory that we've talked a little bit about. I don't know if you've heard this, Sean, is that, are you familiar with helium-3?
No,
helium three.
You guys always tell me a new thing.
So helium three is a I don't know if it's an isotope or an element or what, but it's on the Earth's surface where the humans have it. It is like 0.00003%, which basically means it's non-existent on the surface of the Earth. It is leaking out of Earth's core deep underneath the ocean at pretty substantial rates. There's something going on. It's essentially the remnants of the nuclear energy that created this planet eons ago.
Okay.
So the point is, it's extremely rare. Scientists believe that it is extremely valuable, especially as an energy source to power nuclear reactions that could be the secret to space travel. It's an incredibly powerful energy source that we can't get on the Earth. And as we all know, deep ocean exploration is more difficult than space exploration. Sure. Now, there is a place that it's incredibly abundant, and that's on the moon. And what makes that interesting is that we are now in 2023 in the second space race to the moon, and it looks like China is going to beat us there. And lots of people are saying, well, why now? Mm-hmm. Why the hell go to the moon in 2020 again? Yeah. Like, it's not, it's, but the theory is that both of us are trying to get there because we need helium three to power these reverse engine. We figured out how to reverse engineer them. Mm. And now we're like, you got to have a nuclear reaction to power these things. Why are they
just use the lightning from the clock tower?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Crazy. Only use 1.21 gigawatts.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
But it also would explain, because something that people have said for years is, why are these non-human intelligent life forms in the ocean? Well, they're in the ocean because that's where all the helium-3 is. That's the sort of secret to space travel in terms of a safe nuclear energy source that can power these crafts the way they need to be powered. So we're going to the moon to try to grab this stuff before China does.
Although, interesting.
So that's one theory of.
And I've talked to an astronaut about helium-3. I was real drunk at a wedding, and I asked him. I put my foot in my mouth real bad. It was like right after that last shuttle explosion happened years ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Do you know those guys?" And
he
was like,
"How old were you?"
I was old enough to know better. I was like, "You know these guys?" He's like, "Yeah, we're like, it's like a small crew. We're great friends." I was like, "My bad. What do you know about helium three on the moon?" And he was like, "Yeah, this shit's serious." So like, yeah, I think helium three is like big stuff we need to pay attention to for sure.
Yeah.
So I'm more of a fan. I'm a little bit of a hipster. I'm more of a fan of helium 2.
Helium 2 isn't stable though. Helium 3 is the only one with two the stable isotopes.
It is.
I don't like how the finale went. But the idea and the effort of keeping this out of the public's purview and the public's knowledge.
Right, because I don't know if you've seen, people are literally just putting their iPhones on telescopes and taking crystal clear pictures of the surface of the moon.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yes.
And then you're like, okay, that's definitely a building. I don't know if maybe it's just me. That's an L-shaped.
That's a bucket.
That's like government.
The hovering above it.
Yeah. So it's also, like,
nobody ever addresses, like, okay, so you know how that the Stephen Greer, who seems like a bit of a wackadoo to me, but his thing, wasn't he doing some when he had that documentary about that
Disclosure
class when he could teach you how to beckon
what's it called? CE5, where you basically summon UFOs.
There's multiple videos of them, of people shooting those, like what they do in that video. I've seen other ones of people just watching something really closely, just race through the sky at incredible speeds. And it comes on my TikTok or it comes on my YouTube. And I'm like, so this is just, nobody ever addresses those. Like, that's the other thing about when they're like, well, where's the videos? Like, well, there's one. And then you have the GoFast and the Kimball. Gimbal. And then also, I remember that if you just scour YouTube, like, I remember I saw one of a TikTok, of a Tic Tac that was just hovering. I don't know if I mentioned this to you guys before. And it's just this girl randomly filming it. And I'm like, Yeah, this could be CGI, but this thing has like 150 views.
Oh, right.
Nobody's watching. And then it's not certified. And it didn't, you know, she's not saying I put it through that program that Shane was talking about. So I think it's just like, it's all there. I think all this stuff is there. Or like that Turkish video is like insane.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And there was apparently that group, there was a video group from Turkey that was like, yeah, it wasn't edited in any way. Yeah. It's a real video.
They're like, not a cruise ship.
Like, it's the top of a ship. And yeah, it's like, all right, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah.
So I think it's like all this stuff is there. Like I said, if you could grab all of this and put it, I wonder how much space, a legitimate sounding and legitimate seeming information about this topic, and depending on what angle you're going on, even if it's military or just, you know, third encounter, you take all the information based off all of it, mm-hmm. how much space would it fill up? You know what I'm saying? Like how much space, like I think if you had it in front of you, you'd go, this seems like a pretty reasonable argument.
Right.
In high school, you'd be like, okay, you win the fucking debate.
But the problem with that is that the people that are the hardest to convince are the least likely to sift through all that evidence.
Right.
And what they want is they want to be told the truth. That's most of the people in the world, mm-hmm. from a source that they trust. And therein lies the problem, is that over the past, since the age of the internet, trust has been eroded completely. I mean, I was at a gas pump and I was filling up, and the person on the other side of the pump was just topping their shit off. You know, I could, and I'm like, man, you really, I didn't know who, I was like, you're really topping that thing off. And this woman pokes around. She goes, yeah, you don't. And I'm like, no, it's bad for your engine.
Yeah.
And she's like, says who? And I'm like, just Google it. And she's like, Google's not infallible. And I'm like, Google's not a person. Google is just reporting what experts say about the car engine.
Yeah, yeah.
But like in my head, I realize at that moment, like, she doesn't believe
anything
that she reads on the internet. Like, it has to come from some other source from her, whether that's her pastor.
Yeah, maybe the pastor. Don't top off.
Yeah, so like,
she's made up her mind first and she reads stuff later.
Yes, she makes up her mind. I mean, we saw this during COVID where, like, I think I trust science and scientists. It doesn't mean they're infallible, but I trust them.
Sure. Same.
But there's 75 million people in this country that are like, I don't believe science unless they tell me what I already think is true.
Right.
And that's the reality of what we live in, is the people that, all three of us and most people listening to this pod would sit with that evidence, mm-hmm. and look at it. I've sat with the 9/11 evidence, the official record. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Right. But this stuff, when I sit with all of it, I'm like, there's something here.
Yeah.
But that's not, 150 million Americans are never going to do that.
And I'm glad that you said 150, because you have those 75 that are a certain way, and then you have more, because like I told my friend this weekend, I was like, oh, you've been keeping up with the UFO stuff? He goes, yeah. And I was like, well, he's a whistleblower. It's like a big deal. He goes, yeah, but with all the cameras around the world, you're telling me now, why wouldn't we see stuff?
The cameras that film it all
exactly
the time?
Exactly. I was just like, you're a lost cause. I'm never going to be able to convince you that this shit's real, because you're just like, everyone's got a phone in their pocket. I'm like, but they're shit cameras. They're not filming what we're seeing.
Yeah, people get really mad when somebody films a non-human intelligent life craft going like Mach 2, and they're like, that's pretty blurry. And I'm
like, it's probably a bug close to the camera.
Yeah, why'd you only get one little piece of it? Because it was going by faster than Like, that's why every clip of those is like, oh, go, like, people on an air show didn't realize it, but they saw a UFO.
Yes,
you know, so here's the thing. I think also what you were saying is exactly right. That's why I think you can trust most of the people not to even hear about it. Even if you had, granted, the president comes out and says it, and that's going to hit a lot of the country. But even this whistleblower, and you get some follow-up information here, people's attention spans and apathy is an all-time high. And same way that, you had different political parties after the JFK assassination, but not even close to the amount of division and complete non-compliance that's happening now. So You, when you, the even the people that hated JFK were affected by JFK getting shot. So that's why you had, that's like I said before, the end of Camelot, right? And then you, and then what, 50, 60 years later, the country kind of erodes into what it is now, which is such a, oh my God, just individualized, just everybody has opinions type scenario where nobody believes anything. Just the mistrust has gone through the fucking roof on a large enough section that you're going to either get people who don't care or not going to believe it. And that will be enough of a sample in this experiment on if they get the real information to see that it's not going to be as big of a deal as, it's not going to affect things as much as you think it is.
Right.
The only thing it will affect, like we talked about before, is the people who make the decisions on what happens with the markets and with global politics and with stuff like that. So the serious people, the ones that are going to go, holy shit, what? And then they're going to, and then their decisions they make going forward is what's going to take down societies. I believe if it did that, you know, that sounds dramatic, but you know what I mean? Where it's like, that's where the real effect comes from. People who are paying attention, you know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I, you know, part of me wants to say that I'm excited to see what's going to happen next. But I think my gut tells me what happens next is
nothing for a while.
Nothing for a while. Mm-hmm. And then people like us and most of our listeners who sort of stay at least somewhat abreast of this, you see an article or a thread on it eventually every couple of weeks. You know, we'll say, well, yeah, this is just part of what happened back in 2023. Mm-hmm. This is more of the same from the whistleblower and they're finally getting to it. But for most people, you're going to have to tell them, right? Like they're going to say, why are we just hearing about this now? And I'm like, we're not just hearing about it now.
Right.
We've been steadily getting more and more honest answers from the government, almost to slowly stress test the system until they can finally just come out and be done with it. So it's not out of nowhere.
Right.
And then again, there's old school people from the 50s and 60s that say, we had experts in the 50s and 60s. We had an invasion of Washington, D.C., where there was front page of every newspaper in the country, and we were going to get to the bottom of it. And 60 years later, we've never been told what happened that day.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Right.
It's tough.
And then also what you get from the, I wanted to bring up before we get out of here. Sure. I don't know what time you guys want to stop. I'm downtown.
Oh, no. I'm
yeah. Yeah.
But I meant to mention, did you see the Daily Mail follow-up? This is the problem that arises.
Yes.
And here's the thing, like even a little bit of the Grush, David Grush. Even part of his interview is a little bit fantastical.
Yes.
The way they talk about the non-humans, that's when people, including myself, will check out, part of my brain will check out, but like there's things about it I believe. But I will say there's some lawyer, I think it's Sheehan. There was a Daily Mail article about this guy with two other follow-up sources that he has that he represents. And one of the worst parts about the UFO world is you got to get better, more stable looking people. Like even when Lou Elizondo came out and he had that soul patch and everybody's
God damn it. What are you doing?
Yeah. This guy looks like Bob Baffert, the horse trainer.
He's a big fan of Roy Dunk.
Like, all disheveled and he's got his Communion Day suit on. He kind of has these people that he says he's representing. I spoke to Grush, but I'm representing these two guys that tell me they had encounters with these craft. And the one of the things that's quoted in it is so fun to hear, but it makes me go,
my
head can't get around it. It's literally bending space time. You guys probably know about this. You might have talked about it already.
No, we haven't.
That one of these investigators, it's one of these military personnel who went into one of these craft. The thing was 30 feet long, but when he went into it, it did something to space time where the size of it was the size of a football stadium.
Doctor Who style.
Doctor Who style. Yeah. And this guy was thrown off his game, but he was nauseous when he got out. He was dizzy. He thought he was only in there for a few minutes. He got out. It was 4 hours later or something. It distorted his idea of reality. Now, I believe me, I'm almost, I went, okay, this is Daily Mail, first of all.
Right.
And this is, this guy kind of looks like he looks like Better Call Saul, but in the UFO world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm judging it based off that. And also to hear that, I don't think that because of our understanding of our own physics, I don't understand. That's the thing. That's what the problem is going to be for a lot of people is I can't get my head around it. I cannot. It might very well be possible. It sounds so wacky that it probably is, because if you were going to lie, you'd have a more believable lie.
Right,
like,
exactly.
If this guy really wanted to get noticed, he'd be like, I'm talking to these guys, and they said, blah, 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 and you really, if you were a good liar, you could navigate how to get attention, but also having the most people believe you.
Right.
This is so wacky that I'm like, that somebody's either pranking them or
yeah.
I'm like, even to understand the idea of it, I can't get into it.
Like, if you want people to believe you, you'd be like, it was actually smaller on the inside.
It's actually just a room. It shrunk me down. Shrunk the kids.
But what's crazy about that is, like, Neil Tyson, as much as a lot of us don't like that guy because he doesn't necessarily speak to these things, he has said, there's an interview on YouTube where he describes how things like that could happen. Based on just the time loss is based on the gravity of something causes time to dilate. So that makes sense. And then if you think about, like, if these people are using portals, who's to say that the door to the ship isn't a portal to a different dimension where you're walking into a warehouse versus you're walking into a ship? So really, consider the ship's just a door. So it's like we're having to do our own mental gymnastics based on these weird physics things we may have read on Reddit or somewhere to understand it. But, like, the common layperson was like, what the? No way. This doesn't make any sense.
That reminds me of at least what is purported to have happened in the Philadelphia experiment, the famous Montauk Project, mm-hmm. where they were messing around with what they thought was radar invisibility. It turned out to be time travel. At least that's the story. Mm-hmm. And it would make sense to me that they found one of these crafts. They thought they had reverse engineered. They thought they knew what it did. Mm-hmm. And they're like, it's going to look invisible on radar. And then in reality, it got pulled into the gravitational time of another space.
Oh, interesting.
And then pulled back. And they're like, yeah, we had no idea what we were doing. We were mucking around, and we really, really screwed things up. And that's where, like, what you're talking about is these crafts are not just, they're not better airplanes than how we think of them. They are some sort of transmedium thing that
yes, that's a good way to, that's right. You don't even think of that. You always forget that.
Yes.
That's what's happening. Yeah. It's almost like what could happen with the gold people from Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, the gold people.
Yes. Yeah.
And what have you gotten one of those ships? Would you just end up where they are? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're controlling the ships from, like, giant area, you know?
Yeah. I think that's where, you know, we keep coming back to this, where the 150 million people that are not ready to hear this, if these non-intelligent, sorry, I keep saying non-intelligent human.
No, they're definitely intelligent.
Non-human intelligent.
Yeah, that's us.
If these beings are just like another creature with better technology than us that seem disinterested in us, I think my mother-in-law, for example, can incorporate that into her deeply held religious beliefs and move on.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. This might be hard, but her priest will say, God created everything. He created these, and that's just how the universe is, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But if it's like, no, this points at a reality, a physical reality that is completely different than what we've ever understood, that's something that I think people are going to be like, wait, so this whole multiverse thing is real?
Both can be true, though. And you can only tell, you could always choose which information you tell, right?
No, I think that's exactly right.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that is exactly right.
It's even if you're doing where, you know, I think a lot of what it comes down to is, I think that was one of the theories as well, where one of the people they talked to, and I'm sorry, I have not backup information, but wasn't somebody saying, it was the one you sent me, Shane, the 4chan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
didn't that one say it's
consciousness-based?
Yeah, yes.
Consciousness-based.
Yeah.
So the consciousness-based craft, consciousness-based. So what if it is, you know, our consciousness as humans is what's anchoring us to this planet, and that's what's also lending itself to not being able to go outside of that realm.
Yeah.
And then you're right. Like, it's, to be honest, it's like it kind of – what it should do for a lot of religious people, especially Catholics, is kind of strengthen your belief in heaven, because that's kind of the science version of what that would be, is being like, hey, this is just this interdimensional thing would be like where you go to next. And
yes,
you were right. There is something else. It's science based, but there's something else there. You know?
Yeah.
So I think people would still have a hard time, but I think that's kind of what the way it's going, because even like we said with that craft, I don't know what consciousness plays into it. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, but it seems like it has to be part of the reason of why this guy was so fucked up from it, because it completely and utterly just damaged his consciousness.
Yeah.
And just obliterated what he thought of reality, you know?
Yeah. I was just going to say, I just read this book and I'm reading this follow-up to it. It's called Biocentrism. And mm-hmm. the guy postulates that everything on Earth, it's not like in science, we've often focused on the physical and tangible objects of our lives, and we've left consciousness to be this thing. And Einstein struggled for a long time to prove that consciousness ties into, you know, his theories and stuff, but he could never make it work. A lot of scientists could never make it work. So now there's this new hypothesis, a new theory about how life emerges, is that our consciousness is what creates everything. So there is no universe without us knowing there's a universe. So there's a tree fall in the woods. Do you hear it if no one's there? Well, tree never fell in the woods, and no, it didn't make a sound because there is. Yeah, exactly. That's basically what it is. Like, we create everything around us. And I know there's the slippery slope of solipsism where you're like, well, I'm the only person that exists and fuck everything else.
Right.
And they address that in the book, but it's really interesting. But it is also interesting too, because I was walking around a lake near my house reading this book, like a fucking nerd, just reading this book. And there's like, I pass this guy as part of the Great Raleigh cleanup crew, and they just clean up shit around places. And he's like, what are you reading? I was like, oh, I'm reading this book that basically posits that nothing exists unless we observe it. He just laughed and laughed and just walked away. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess.
Well, now you're gone. You don't exist anymore.
I know. I was like, thanks for getting out of my head. Yeah, but I was just like, that's just how people are going. No one is willing to take that leap to go, Unless I can touch it, it's not real, you know, and it's tough.
It's so funny. I don't know if this is where they go down the road with solipsism, but it's almost like solipsism with an agreed upon reality. So
right. Yeah. Level, yeah.
The forefront of your mind, like the idea of you going like, you don't have to actually go, I believe this is a reality. No, you're never saying that. Nobody's ever saying, I'm in reality right now.
Right,
but
right.
There's some other frequency thing that everybody's going like, oh, no, this is just an agreed upon thing based off our consciousness. And we're manifesting this. Think about it this way. Like the same way that, I don't want to get into it, but like the same way that like, when you talk to the physics aspect of this, and the same way that, even with whatever your perception of things that's going on around you, and you think it's in your immediate thoughts, there could be a different section for constant thoughts where you're just like,
right.
I'm always there's a hum where I just believe I'm part of this thing that, but in reality, if you stepped out of the dimension, you'd be like, oh, you guys are just, you're all thinking that at the same time,
yes.
Which is powering your consciousness craft or whatever you want to call
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
Right. It does. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess the danger in that view is that if scientifically we confirm that there is an afterlife, then you know one of the tenets of, say, communism, you know, John Lennon, imagine there's no heaven, like that the idea of an afterlife allowed people to endure horrific conditions on this planet.
Right.
Or it might be like, wait, I can kill myself and there's no penalty. I will clearly fight against these aliens and die.
Right.
Because you're just telling me there's my consciousness goes off into this other place. I mean, I guess that's when I say the risk, I'm saying it's the risk of all of this coming to light is that we're not really sure how it will manifest in daily life.
Right.
Like does the stock market crash? Do people across the world say, well, look, if I'm in abject poverty and you're telling me that this is just all a projection of my own creation, then peace, I'm out.
Yeah. Well, I would just show them reincarnation videos and be like, even if you do that, you're coming back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right. There's also a thing where it's like, I think, I don't think that would ever happen, because another thing we have to try to figure out is, and this one might be the reason why you still have the pushback from old school parts of the Department of Defense and the military and all this, is because, well, say tomorrow they say, yeah, Grush is correct, we have this program. Everybody, then it becomes the question of, this is nonstop. So what's next?
Right.
After about how many years does it get to the reality part of the discussion that we're talking about? Because there's people that aren't even, I'll bring up some of this, the physics stuff with my girlfriend. She's like, I don't even want to think about that. I can't think about it. So I think people do.
Yeah, my wife's the same way.
We're open to the discussion. We don't, you know, we're not physicists. I don't think either of you are, but we're open to the discussion of it. But what point does the alien visitor, the non-human thing, get down to? Okay, then where are they from? But they're from here. But then there's then the thing about the craft is correct. Well, how does that happen? And then you keep going down the line until you get to so nothing actually matters. And I can do whatever the fuck I want. I'm just going to go off into this next energy form, whatever it is. Would it be a next? It's a thing that's existing simultaneously, maybe, possibly. So maybe that's one of the reasons. And that would also coincide with like the Lou Elizondo thing where he's like, a lot of these old school guys think it's demonic. These things are demonic. Yep. And then it's like, there you go. It's like, because what it does is it kind of etches away at the fabric of everything you've been taught to believe for thousands of years.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Which
is terrifying.
Well, especially terrifying. And, you know, Joseph Conrad, the great writer from 18th, 19th century. I mean, he talked about in Heart of Darkness how the civilization that holds man back is incredibly thin and erodes extremely quickly. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's why we'll never get a blanket full disclosure. Because I look at Hurricane Katrina, I look at the pandemic, I look at these stress tests that we've had over the years, and I just think like plenty of people are going to be like, wait, this whole thing is just sort of
right.
We've known for 90 years that there's a more powerful entity here, so the government is basically a way to keep us in control and certain people in power. Fuck it. I'm not playing this game anymore.
It's not the aliens we have to worry about. It's the people that are in power that are like, I can do anything I want, which they can do anyway.
Right. Or you end up having devil's advocate. You have the opposite where they realize and they go, oh, I'm part of this. I'm just be thankful for the information. I'm part of this bigger thing. Mm-hmm. And
that's
almost
true.
Like they were talking about the interview. He's like, oh, you would ostensibly become humans, not countries,
right?
In, the human race versus human group, not the which who knows that would ever who knows that would end up happening. Mm-hmm. I think what you end up meeting is a punk rock one of these countries that's in the know. You need them to just go completely rogue, which based on this podcast I heard about finances might be Brazil. BRICS thing. China,
and they've been open about UFOs for a long time.
Totally. And so you need a punk rock, one of these kinds, to just divulge all this information. Because even if, just go back to the interview with Grush, it's like, even with that interview, he mentions, this is what I mean. Like, the detail that he said that the first known recovery was in Italy.
Yeah, 1933.
Kind of tracked to the Mussolini, and we came and picked it up. It's like, it's such an odd detail to be like, I'm going to just, if you're making it
right,
up, you're making up that Mussolini had this craft, even though it's in the Mussolini notes and they drew it, but no, now it's believable because it's like, it just seems too many verifiable.
Right. That story.
It's weird to go like, hey, why if he really was making it up, why wouldn't he be like, oh, one was the first recovery was in the forests of the Amazon, and where it cannot be checked, cannot really be followed.
Exactly.
There could be no surrounding information that kind of backs it up. You'd be like, and they went, there was a 2-guy crew, they went and they grabbed it on a ship and they brought it back and they, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're going Italy? That's your like, hey, 33 started in Italy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've discussed, and I'm convinced that there was some sort of spacecraft that was in the possession of Nazi Germany, the Nazi Bell. Mm-hmm. People thought it was a time travel device. But again, space travel is inevitably time travel in some regard. They're very, very similar.
Right, because of the gravity-based stuff that
we're
talking about.
And so their 1939 understanding of something like this would be that, like, It seems to time travel people. Mm-hmm. And there is some evidence that the U.S. sort of staged a battle on the front in order to then sneak into Berlin and steal this device. There's some evidence that In fact, the Nazis surrendered in the war to move this device to Antarctica. And then there's all these theories about there being a base in Antarctica. There's certainly an incredible Nazi presence in South America, which again fits in with this whole idea that there's like all these different little pieces of the puzzle start to sort of like make sense once you buy into like, oh, now I get it, right? This has been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's really shaped our modern world in a way that most people really don't understand. And now whether we as a people sort of just admit it and figure out what's next, whether that's a completely new government of some kind. I know people fear a sort of world government, a world order. Sure. But if we are all a subspecies, that's probably what makes the most sense. Right. I don't know who's in charge of that. Or I'm fine if we just sort of go back to an agrarian people.
That's my jam right there.
If the population of humans is about 15 million across the world and we just sort of farm and live in harmony like the aliens created us to do.
Right.
Right. I mean, which is they gave us these powers just to do what?
Right.
To study the animals and just to
They needed farmers. You know, this is a giant farm of a planet and instead we grew like fire ants and now we're problematic.
What if we're just an app? We started as Farmville. And then we ended up where we are today.
Well, let me ask you guys this. What he said about, because even at one point, he isn't saying he knew where these things came from. He's just saying that they were recovered. Mm-hmm. We know it's non-human intelligence. Him bringing up the part about interdimensional, which is, did it change your guys' mind about the source of this stuff? So you know, either, you know, like we said, it's like it's from the water, it's from different dimensions, it's from other planets, or it's all of the above.
Right.
I don't know, based on all this water stuff, I was talking to you guys about this. I'm like, I had a thought one day I thought was pretty good where I said, what if when evolution happened, if it went both ways,
yes,
like when, you know, mm-hmm. the frog came out of the water and the amphibians started grabbing legs and eyes, their eyes got complicated. What if it also went, they went deeper into the ocean and just got more and more advanced, and they've been, and that would also explain why this has been here for so long, because it's just
right.
And they had, for whatever reason, I don't know.
No, I think that's it's very astute. I think that we've talked about that quite a few times. It's like, of course it would make sense. Why do we always as humans think we're so special that we're the only ones that exist on this planet that have a higher level of intelligence, but there's nothing to say over the eons and millennia that we've been on this planet that something hasn't gone and basically come the same direction as we did, just in a different, place that they inhabited. Yeah. And of course they're going to develop craft to leave that place. Like, their ships should be no different than ours with us going into space. We have submarines, they have air marines, they have all that stuff.
Yeah. And can they get deep enough where, I don't know, can they grab helium 3?
Yeah, right. Sure they can.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, my problem with that is that I think, and I don't think it's inconsistent with what you just said. I sense that whatever these creatures are, that they've been on this planet hundreds of thousands of years longer. And I'm fine with the date. You know, we used to say humans are like 5,000 years old.
You're saying I limit my thing to human existence. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know exactly when the first human was on this planet.
Well, they just discovered caves or something 100,000 years before we thought humans existed.
Intelligent drawings and everything.
Yeah. And our history's fucked.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree that the history of what we now call Homo sapiens is off.
Wrong.
But I think these creatures predated that. Now, whether they evolved on this planet or whether they came here, we do know this about Earth. It's an extremely rare biosphere. Like, we have now looked at billions of planets, which is a lot. There's not a lot that look like Earth. Like, when every time we find a Goldilocks planet, it's like when people find another prime number. It's like, holy shit, we found another. Like, they're really rare. It's like, it is, they're extremely rare. And if we're discovering them rare, I just think that a million years ago, a million of our years, mm-hmm. right? that somebody was like, well, that's a really good planet for life, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I just think these things have been here for, it makes so much of the history that is inexplicable, you know, finding geared electronically charged devices in the bottom of the ocean that predate any civilization we know about. Mm-hmm. Like all the things with Atlantis and the weird gravitational and time fluxes in the ocean and things, it all just kind of makes sense that something intelligent has been here for a long, long, long time.
I believe, I think you're right.
Yeah. And then you go to look at like, then you start adding the woo, which is, you know, the CIA's astral projection and remote viewing. And they said, there were beings on Mars that had an atomic cataclysm, and we can look at Mars. And a NASA scientist said, oh, there's clearly a nuclear event on Mars based on what's happened there. And the remote viewing says they left that planet. Did they come here? Maybe they came here eons ago when Mars was losing its shit, and they were like, we got to go to a better planet. And again, that gets in the woo and the weirdness of it all, but it's like, we're already there. So
there's stuff to back it up. Sure. You know, it's like, I always said that about, I think I maybe said it to you guys, where it's like, doesn't Mars kind of look like a planet that got so big? All the dust got kicked up and brought back
down. Yeah, it looks like a sunburned, you know, Irishman, you know, like.
It's me at Rockaway Beach. It
used to be alive, but you're burnt.
You are crispy.
Let me ask you this before I go. Did you guys already talk about Las Vegas?
No.
So that's a great way to sort of, so we, for those listening that don't know, there was a YouTube video put out by a family in Las Vegas, mostly by one kid. In the video, and what hit, there's a narration of the story, and then it's interspliced with police, a body cam footage, door cam footage from the area, and other sources. And essentially, there's a sonic boom-like sound that's audible on.
And there was a sound before that sounded mechanical and weird before it landed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And before it blew up or crashed, whatever.
And then they call 911, and you can hear the 911 call in this YouTube video. They say there are 8-foot alien-like creatures in their backyard. The police come. The body cam footage, the police says, normally we wouldn't even have showed up, but my partner saw something.
Right.
So we're here to investigate this. And since then, there have been some people that say it seems kind of hokey. But there's other people that seem like this seems pretty legit, especially in the context of what's been going on.
James Fox, who, you know, has made a number of great documentaries about UFOs, said, oh, it's real. I've been contacted by these people. But then, like, within minutes, he changed his story and was like, it's probably a hoax. So I'm like, well, did they get to you, or was this actually a hoax?
So. Yeah, so that's the most recent kind of close encounter that we had this past week, too. Mm-hmm.
I think James Fox, I kind of think, is on the level. I mean, I think he's on the level. I will say this. If it's is it possible that the body cam is for real and the kid is just a hoax?
Oh, like interesting. The body cams,
they called an audible and they went like, oh, we can fuck with everybody.
Right, yeah.
And put my tall uncle in the back behind this forklift over here. Because that's the thing I kept last night. I kept scrolling through the videos of what they say is the shadow.
Yeah,
of the,
it's
aliens,
so funny.
And at one point, you can see one behind the forklift, and one seems to be trying to work it, like to work. What, do you get a union job?
That's now a meme now. Red is making so much fun of it now. But anyway, sorry.
Yeah, no, Reddit. I saw a clip, a post of somebody saying, it's a hoax. The guy, he has a YouTube channel. It's called Alien, Artifact, whatever it's called. And it's just it's a joke. It does seem very, it seems like a joke. It's also like, it's like that exact, I'm only going to give you X amount of this. But, you know, the only thing I will say on the side of it is like, so the whole family decided.
Right.
Like, that's why the whole family just decides. Unless you could have also had the kid with his buddies doing it, and he told the family, and he messed with the family as well. And maybe that's why they can't get this family for an interview anymore, because he finally told them, I'm just messing with you. And they're like, we're not talking.
Who knows?
But that body cam video, if that's real, that happened.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely showed up.
The sonic boom.
Something definitely crashed.
And the police partner did see something.
Yeah.
So, I mean, did the kid just seize upon... Because the video he gives, I mean, I don't know, these things happen, then he say, hey, we should call the police and do this and try to just create a story out of it. Mm. And I guess that's the problem. I think that with a lot of people who hear these things is that it's hard to believe enough. And then when you immediately try to monetize it, because I think they're trying to right. sell a script and they're trying to, somebody wants to buy yeah. their story.
Right.
So
yeah.
it's like,
but that's a quick turnaround. They would have had to have this thought before the shit crashed, or they were like, okay, we filmed it. 2 hours later, like, okay, let's make it a thing.
But did they film it as well?
I thought
the films with the body cam and the ring camera with the big flash.
Yeah, no,
that's right. So they didn't film it. Yeah, you're right.
No, he
yeah.
didn't. They just did the 911 call.
Interesting. That's
and,
right.
And
so
then
that could have been like they heard it. Maybe something did. Maybe it was just asteroid bait, whatever it was. And then this kid went, oh, my perfect opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Just always have a script in the pocket ready
sure.
to go.
That's what they say about show business anyway.
Yeah.
This kid just wanted a general with Paramount.
Right, yeah. I mean, Titanic was written 20 years before it actually happened. So I get it.
Right.
Yeah.
I just watched some documentary about that a while ago.
Oh, yeah?
Great. Oh, yeah. I mean, we were talking about, I just watched Avatar 2, The Way of
that movie.
The Water.
And Guardians 3 can both eat shit because they both were about animal torture. I hate both of those movies.
Oh,
anyway, okay. Go ahead.
Well, there's lots of people think that James Cameron has been poking around the deep ocean enough that he's realizing that the story of Avatar is about a indigenous alien people, mm-hmm. the blue people. We are the invading white people that are causing untoward sure. damage to the earth. And he's sort of trying to get us to buy into this idea. And he knows this from his deep sea exploration. So,
oh, wow.
He's got a sub.
He went pretty deep.
He did.
He might have met halfway.
Yeah.
I think that's, this is my final thought.
Okay.
I think the biggest stumbling block to all of this is that Every time I dig in this stuff, and there have been alien encounters with school children where the message from the aliens was like, stop fucking the planet up.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, we can live here together with you guys, can do whatever you want. Just don't blow the planet up.
Yeah.
And
so it fits in with every single thing that people think about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, we're gonna blow the planet up.
Yeah,
so there's people that are just
us.
Like, no, I'm gonna keep driving this Ford 250. I don't care. Yeah. I'm Montana children are suing the state because their state is being destroyed, and their people are like, yeah, we don't give a shit. We're gonna take the coal out of the land, no matter what it does. And as long as that's the message, is that we got to take better care of this planet, or these aliens are going to wipe us off mm-hmm. the face of the earth, then we're going to lose that argument.
Yeah.
Like, it's got to be, you got to, I don't want to do a bit, but like, you got to think like that. You got to convince people that the aliens are here to get rid of immorality, you know.
Oh,
you got to say these are very moral aliens that don't like homosexuality or something. Get people to buy. I don't want that. I'm just saying, like,
right.
These aliens won't drink Bud Light.
Hate Bud Light. Like, yeah. You know, aliens drink Bud Heavy or something. I don't know what it is, but that's the only way that we're gonna get people on board. And I just think that it's. And, well, we'll see what plays out.
Okay.
I think that Congress is going to kick the can down the road. We're not going to get straight answers. Shane did say maybe it becomes a campaign issue where certain presidential candidates say, if elected, I will shoot straight and I will get to the bottom of this and I will tell the American people what
we
know.
But they will not get elected.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I gotta be honest. I would really pay attention to the UAP candidate.
Yeah.
I'd be like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like,
who? What? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that what's gonna happen. What should really happen, because that guy Burchett, whatever the congressman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was saying what you need is more guys like this. He's like, I knew this was happening. I said this a while ago, which he did, and so under that whistleblower law. I don't know if he's the first one under, because it's pretty new, right? It's of no ramifications.
Yeah, just they just the proper channels. And this guy, Gresher, however you say his name, he was one of the authors of this bill. So he helped get this pass, apparently.
Yeah.
So he knows all the ins and outs of not getting screwed by this whistleblower thing. So he knows what to say and what not to say.
I think if you're willing to.
I wonder if he had this in mind when he was making the bill.
I think he must have.
Yeah. If you're willing to tell the truth under oath, and I think that's important, if you're willing to tell the truth under oath, then you should be protected in this regard. Mm-hmm. Like we should have a method where you say, I will go under oath and tell you what I know and admit evidence, and you will get protection from the government if you do that.
Mm-hmm. And what you can only hope is that this Crush thing emboldens some more of these guys. Like, even if the guys from that Daily Mail article are for real and they are being represented by that wackadoo lawyer, whatever his deal is, like, you would hope it's like, all right, now, hey, he did it. He showed his face. He's not dead. He's not, you know, it's like, now, do you have actual stuff here? Do you have something to show? Mm-hmm. Then I think there's safety in numbers when it comes to this thing.
Sure.
And it changes the narrative more and more.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to see. Apparently, there's a bunch more whistleblowers. There's one that just came out, again, covered by the Daily Mail, I think, which is a little weird. There's a guy that was like, in the jungle, we came upon a craft. It was full of guns, and they were U.S. people basically smuggling guns and UFOs, and they were like, don't say shit, we'll kill you. And that's another one. It's like, well, that's another whistleblower account, but that was...
Wait, what?
That just came out as well.
That just came out, yeah.
It's crazy. So then,
in the Amazon...
I don't know if it's Amazon, it was some jungle, but that he came upon a UAP, a UFO, and there were black ops. He was black ops, I think, and he came upon U.S. servicemen that were like, if you say shit about this, we'll murder you. And it was a craft full of guns. And they were basically in a country where they didn't belong. And that just came out.
It was reverse engineered, or no?
They didn't. They don't know. But he was like, so that's another whistle. So there's more whistleblowers coming forward. But stuff like that is crazy.
That sounds. I don't understand the advantage. They were smuggling it in the. It was like U.S. made UFO.
So just imagine the U.S. made. Imagine what was it that Reagan got in trouble for?
Star Wars.
No, the smuggling of guns and drugs.
Iran-Contra.
Iran-Contra.
Imagine that, but with UFOs. Yeah. I think that's basically what he was describing. Basically trading guns just for like whatever.
Like he just kind of stumbled into Wakanda.
Yeah, he stumbled.
Like,
yes.
Oh, I see. It was a trade-off.
Basically, he ran into this thing that was going down, and they were like, don't say shit. So, but that just came out too. But again, the Daily Mail covers it, and it's like, what? I don't know. So,
yeah, that's so
exactly. But at least we have enough sensibility to be like, Daily Mail.
Exactly. Daily Mail. My final thought, I was complaining to Justin before the pod started about a local bar I went to the other day. I was like, I went there once. It was kind of weird. It was just a bunch of weirdos. We went in there last time, went into the bar, but everybody, even the bartender, was outside smoking. I was like, okay, it's just a towny bar. Everyone's having a good time. So we went there this weekend. And one of the guys there, I'm going to burn this place down. I'm very angry about everything that happened. But one of the guys ordered a Bud Light bottle, but said, pour it in a glass because I don't want people to know what I'm drinking. And I think this perfectly describes the American populace. It's like, sure, there may be UFOs, there may be aliens, but I'm going to put it in a glass that makes it fit my reality, and I'm just going to go with this. Sure, this other stuff exists, but I don't talk to those people, I don't do that, and I don't want my friends to know I talk to aliens, so I'm just going to drink my Bud Light out of a glass.
I buy that. Yeah. It's almost how I felt about Catholics. I always said this thing about Catholics where I was like, if you took any Catholic, I'm 45, if you took most people my age, most people, mm-hmm. and you got them and they were Catholic and you brought them into a room and you went like, well, you guys don't really think that it is what it is, like they didn't really, all this happened and this is real and that's real and blah blah blah. I think you'd have, and like, there's no ramifications, nobody will know you said this. Mm-hmm. I think they'd be like, no, I do it for my mom, or I do it for this. So yeah, same kind of deal where it's like, hey, I'll play ignorant for the sake of things going on the way they've been going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they've done studies where with anonymous admission of UFOs versus non-anonymous, mm-hmm. where like you're known, you have to put your name down versus you don't have to put your, and people are much higher to admit there are UFOs when they're not, when they don't think that it's traceable to them.
Right.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Exactly. Because that's why that also explains this whistleblower conundrum, where it's like this guy, he comes out, he gets called a kook, even though he served in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And he seems completely normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's insane. Believe me, man. It's like, here's the thing. Taking all the things we know in the public eye about this thing, even putting that aside, the amount of sightings, the amount of information that's, if you take the amount of information of people seeing something that hasn't been talked about on the internet or whatever it is, like, I think that's just endless as well.
Yeah.
As well. Like I tried to do my own UFO thing and I screwed up on filming them and all that, but I found like six people in comedy and in my life, like one of them was my cousin that I never knew, saw something.
Wow.
Like, it's like, it's just, it's endless.
Like, yeah.
There's too much. It's so present. There's too much of it. Don't get me wrong. I know a lot of these things get explained by certain stuff, drunk, whatever it is. But I think you run the statistics and then you go, well, then not this. This is for real.
Also,
like we've said a million times before.
Yeah.
You know, also, I don't know if your six people would bear this out, but in my experience, the UFO sightings for individuals go dramatically higher the more time you've spent in the open ocean.
Sure.
And the more time you've spent in remote areas of the country, meaning wilderness. Now, if you've lived primarily in the city, either because of light pollution or just the concentration of people, or there's just more going on in the sky around urban areas, so it's harder to sort of pinpoint something weird. But the farther you get out, and especially in the ocean, then the numbers, the percentage of people who've seen something unexplainable just goes to the roof.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, totally. Well, two of them I had doesn't fit in. One of them was in Queens. It was Greg Rogel, the comedian.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And he saw a thing for a long time hovering above, and he was in Forest Hills, Queens. And then one of them was my cousin, and that was a cruise, so that totally fits.
Yep.
Where they tried the flash on the camera. I don't know if I told you guys about that.
No.
They tried to take a picture. I think they were trying to take a picture. But it was like everything else was pitch black except for this. You know, there was so much. There was no artificial light in the area.
Right.
And this, the flash in the camera went, and this thing flashed back.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
And then the other story he had was in Jersey, almost like how that Ring camera looked. That's how I picture. He had almost like that sonic boom sound you're talking about. Had that sound going constant. He woke up to it one night with that amount of light going around his house, and he was trying to figure out where the hell this was coming from. If it was a helicopter, whatever it was, and he couldn't. And he went downstairs to his first floor, and he almost went outside to check it out. And he was like, something told him in his gut, don't go outside.
Oh,
and
he
was terrified. And then one of them was in Virginia. It was Tony Woods, and Tony Woods saw something when he was 17 in Virginia that he could not identify.
Wow.
And then the other one was freaking my buddy that I told you. I don't know if I think I might have told you or not on the pod, Shane, about my buddy who was in Long Island and how he had a loss of time thing.
Oh, yeah.
His dad told him to go take a picture outside. And that was in Long Island. And then when he saw, I told him, watch Phenomenon. When he saw one of the pictures in Phenomenon, he called me immediately and like freaking out and be like, that's exactly what I saw.
100%. Oh, shit. Yeah.
So there's veracity to all this stuff.
Yeah, I had time loss. I've shared it on the pod a long time ago.
Did you?
Yeah. It was when I was in graduate school, which was in Chapel Hill, but I lived in the county south of there, Chatham County, for those who are listening from North Carolina. And I would cycle. My house was like 10 miles away, but sometimes on like Fridays, I would take a long country bike ride back to my house. It was probably like 20 miles. Mm. And I turned on this road. And if you've ever cycled, there's like a sound to your bike, you know, just the chain and the wheels on the road.
Yeah.
And
I always put baseball cards in my.
Yeah. It sounds like a motorcycle. Yeah.
So, you know, there's that sort of familiar sound. And I'm biking along, and then I realized that I'm not hearing my bike anymore. And I was like, that's probably bad.
Yeah.
So I thought there was something wrong with my bike. And so I stopped and I got off my bike, and that's when I realized there was no sound.
Wow.
And I was like, what is going on? And then there was like this sucking sound, and then like, it was almost like time kind of came back, and then immediately all the sound came back to the,
crazy.
And I was like, what just happened? And I, you know, I had been cycling and I knew sort of how long this ride took, 'cause I did it a bunch, and there was time sort of just missing from, like, I was like, wait a second, how did I, like, I, so I don't know what happened exactly, crazy. Except I remember distinctly, like, I don't hear my bike. And then when I stopped, I'm like, wait a second, I don't hear anything. There's no, I can't hear the wind. I can't hear the, just the trees or bugs or anything. And then there was that sucking sort of sound, and then this sort of, and I was sort of back.
Like, almost like you're going right back into reality.
Yeah, like right back
into. Do you clean your ears a lot, or is that not a thing you do? Could you just need an ear candle?
Here's the thing.
Yeah, or a stroke.
We talked about,
yeah, it could be a stroke.
Couldn't it have been that you were into this, like, based on the gravity thing?
Right, yeah.
That you were just in the vicinity of one of these things?
Yeah, that's what Shane said, yeah, when I first told the story.
From something above you or in the side of you? Or
right, that's what I think, at this point, I think it was, is some sort of thing sort of swept.
It could have been the spheres that we keep seeing flying around, right? It could be as small as that.
The same thing. Probably, yeah, right.
Exactly. It just sort of pulls gravity, and most of us, you know, don't really notice it.
Yeah.
And they probably go so fast at certain points, and it's, if you're in the middle of the woods or you're in a complicated enough area, you know?
Right.
Wow. I meant to tell you guys, I didn't get this here. They got this for me last time I was here, but I was just in Alaska, and there's a couple of famous, you know, occurrences there, but we went on a seaplane. I went on the seaplane for the first time. And my girlfriend knew the guy, the pilot from high school. And at the end of the trip, I was like, "Hey, thanks so much." And I was like, "Hey, ever see a UFO?" He's like, "Yep." And just matter of factly, matter of factly told me a story about how, and he showed me, he actually showed me exactly where it was, because it was back on where the dry dock was, where the dock was. He saw me how far it was far, but he goes, "I saw when we were flying in, I saw this object." That was right above the beach. That was on this island. That was right. And then they landed. He told his wife, and his wife was like, "What are you talking about?" And he goes, "Look that way over there." And then he said, at that exact moment, they saw two objects, like circular, come out of the ocean and just take off into space.
Oh yeah, right. Wow. That's so many people have seen that exact thing.
Exactly. Yep. It's just endless. That's what I mean. Yeah. It's just endless. Yeah. But he said it like he was giving me his grocery list. He was
sure.
Like, yeah. Yep. So I'd, and without even, with no irony and no theater, no nothing.
Yeah. Wow. That's wild.
Well, I hate to cut this to an end, because it's always great to talk to you.
I love this.
And so I do want to, as a way to introduce your other life as a comedian, for our audience, do you talk about any of this in your act at all? Like, I don't. And I don't think, Shane, I don't think
you. No, I don't.
I only have one thing, and I purposely didn't do more, because it's supposed to be a reveal. So I've been doing a bit that's been working. I talk about if I do like an hour somewhere, I'll talk about being divorced about two or three times during the set, just mentioning it, a couple different jokes. And I kind of feel like a traitor a little bit, because of how much I do believe in this stuff and how much I have a joke at the end, because it's very different from how my act is. Mm-hmm. So I have a joke at the end where I just go, "Hey, we learned a lot during the pandemic. UFOs are real." And I talk about Fravor. I awkwardly describe UFOs for like 2.5 minutes. Yeah. And then I go, "What I'm trying to say is divorce is really hard." And it works great. If I get enough frenzied and I get tinfoil hatty, and then I say it, it's worked really well. Sometimes it doesn't. It runs the gamut. But it's really fun to do because of how into it I am. But I feel like a turncoat.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm like, "Well, no, just so you know, I believe in all of it."
Yeah. That's one of the things you struggle with. I think all of us struggle as comics. Like, I know this is funnier than this thing, and I know I can use the truth against itself to be funnier. And it's like, yeah, I know it doesn't feel right, but man, it does work.
Yeah.
It does work. And I found myself, even with other stuff, I found myself going, "Well, that didn't really happen, but this happened." Well, sure. Happened. And in the act, I'll go, "Well, not really. But you know, I feel like I'm lying to you or something." But it's actually the reason I've tried that joke in the past year, maybe. But then I stopped for a while. But when I did on the road a couple of times, I think I told you guys about this maybe another time I did the show. Two or three different anecdotes come right up to me that were like, "It seems believable to me."
Yeah.
Right. Once again, this just seems normal. I didn't chase you down. You came to me and you gave me a pretty believable story. You know, everybody has little pieces of the information.
Yeah. And that's what Grush said. People came to me. He's like, "I didn't search them out. They came to me and told me their story." So, that's what it is. It just takes more of this talk to get more people to be willing to get it out of the realm of you're crazy to the realm of you're plausible and it's believable.
From sources like this
absolutely.
Guy.
This is
unimpeachable to me. This is just another giant piece and disclosure to me. I'm just at the point now, I believe what the guy is saying.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the where can folks find you or see you do a comedy soon?
You can find me. When is this coming out? This is coming out
today.
Today. Perfecto. You can at ShawneeTime on Instagram and at UFO Street on Twitter, where I do the videos. I'm going to put more of those up there. So please follow that. And then also, I will be opening for next week. I'll be opening for a Gary Goldman special in Toronto.
Amazing.
Oh, nice. Gary Goldman's
great. And then I go to the Dallas House of Comedy, I think, after that. And then I'm in Batavia at the Comedy Vault in Illinois, in Batavia, Illinois.
Awesome.
So, yeah, so I put all my stuff on my social media, so please come check it out.
It'll be worth it if you're listening, and please try to catch Sean somewhere and see a show. Thank you so much for joining us. It's always our great pleasure to have you and talk about this stuff.
The pleasure is mine. It's always great to see you. I love you guys personally and based off our UFC.
Same. Awesome. Same.
And you're both hilarious comics. So
thank you.
I'll do this anytime you need. It's always such a fucking joy, man.
Good company for sure.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for listening. More news to come on our brand name change. So stay tuned. This has been Conspiracy Beer Me. For now, I'm Justin.
I'm Shane. And this was...
Shenanigans.